Hey, this is Kristen Cheetah, and I just want to welcome you to my podcast this week. And today, I am really going to be focused on Sabbath keeping. So I'm just going to share today about the importance of a Sabbath. I've been really, I've had a lot of conversations with different people really about this, the concept of mindfulness. And I feel like along the journey of just walking with God that there have been, things that I've learned, things that I've experienced that have led me to walk with this, I guess, mindfulness, living with intention, that has just been a part of my life over probably the last 20 years, 21 years, being very intentional about my thought life, being intentional about what I say, being intentional about how I live, my behavior, and just kind of putting things in my life that are going to keep the center, the main thing. And so I just want to kind of invite you in on today, as I'm just going to talk about the importance of having a Sabbath and the Sabbath. And just going to look at scripture. I'm going to focus on the book of Exodus just because this was the beginning of when God established the Sabbath, and just kind of talk about a few of the things that I have found to be kind of keys in keeping the Sabbath and what we can find when we actually keep the Sabbath. So I want to invite you on this journey with me today. All right, here we go. And I'm going to just jump right into Exodus 31. And in Exodus 31, what we're seeing is this is kind of we're at the God has been meeting with Moses on Mount Sinai. And at right here at this point, Exodus 31 is this the final word that God has to Moses on Mount Sinai. And the final thing that God leaves Moses with is the command for the Israelites to remember the Sabbath. So what we take from this is it's very significant to God. Among all the other laws and all the other commands, and all the other directives that God gives his people, if we remember, the nation of Israel was in the land of Egypt. God has pulled them out of Egypt in the Exodus. And now God needs to lay out, okay, here's your social laws for living, health laws. How do you get along? Government. Like, here's what we need to set up. And God is saying at the pinnacle of all of this, his final word before Moses, I'll go all the way to, 17. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. Observe the Sabbath because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it," this is important, "is to be put to death. Those who do any work on that day must be cut off from their people. For 6 days work is to be done, but the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day is to be put to death. The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for the generations to come as a lasting covenant. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day, he rested and was refreshed." And then verse 18 says, "When the Lord finished speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave him the two tablets of the covenant law, the tablets of stone inscribed by the finger of God." All right, I just love this book. So what I want to pull out of this is that at this moment when God is giving this command, he's really giving a retelling of the fourth commandment, which you can find the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. And that commandment says, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. All right, there's so much to this, and there have been books and books written about the importance of keeping the Sabbath. So today I'm, you know, touching, like I'm just putting my toe in the very little tiny inch of the ocean of what is the Sabbath. So if you want to discover more about that, there are some incredible books. I remember a book, and I can't remember the title. Marva Dawn is the author, and I read that book, oh my goodness, I think it was like 1998, because I could feel that our family in the busyness of where we were at with young children, I could feel like the Sabbath slipping away. So I got my hands on a whole bunch of books about the Sabbath. And I just remember that that was such a, I don't know, Marva Dawn's book just seemed to really kind of, I don't know, spoke to the things that I was kind of looking for. And anyway, so you can do all kinds of searches about books that would help you discover more about how to create a Sabbath, how to keep the Sabbath. But today I just want to focus on 1, 2, 3, 4. I've got 5 words on the Sabbath. So rest, refreshment, remember, return, and then the last one that's not an R word, assign. All right, so here we go. I'm going to first start with remember. The command that God gives in that Exodus 31, and also we know from just even in the Ten Commandments, God says, remember the Sabbath. And so it's an important thing. And if God speaks it, and if you read through the Old Testament over and over, God said the word remember. I wonder how many times that word is used in the Old Testament. To remember God's faithfulness, to remember the testimonies, to remember what he has done, to remember, he's telling the Israelites, remember what you've seen, remember what I've done to save you. And this is to remember the Sabbath. And God tells us to remember it. He tells the Israelites, remember it for the generations to come. Well, guess what? We are that those generations. We're living in the generations that were to come. And so for us, this command hasn't changed. The command hasn't been abolished. The command hasn't been, tweaked a little bit. We need to remember the Sabbath. And it is for our good. Every law, every command that God gives in the Word is for our good, is for the blessing of his people. So as we just kind of look at now these different parts of what we receive from the Sabbath, when we give time to take the Sabbath, when we remember the Sabbath, part of it is we need to know whatever God lays out, his boundaries lie in pleasant places. That's what Psalm 16 tells us, that he creates boundaries for our good, for our pleasure. And to keep, and again, think also just to keep us focused on who he is. So here we go. We want to remember the Sabbath day. So I'm going to ask you a question. How do you remember the Sabbath? What does that look like for you? How do you observe the Sabbath? Do you observe the Sabbath? Are there changes that you would like to make? I think even before we get started with the other words, I think one of the issues that arises in our current culture and the generation that we're living is the busyness of life, that we can go Sunday through Sunday, Monday through Monday, Tuesday through Tuesday, and we never take time to stop. We never take time to remember, because life is so full and life is busy, and sports and music and drama and dance. I mean, you can just move through your life with children. You can move work. We have work at our fingertips, the voice or the emails that are, you know, we're not going to work and checking emails. We've got it all on our phones. We bring work home with us because we carry our laptops with us. So I think this point of remembering is just, we've got to create pause. We've got to create time to stop. And I think it's really important in our culture. There are 40 million people that struggle with severe anxiety, which means that severe anxiety means it actually consumes their life. Moments of the day are ticking by with being consumed by anxious thoughts and worry. So part of, I think, getting healthy, being mindful, creating margin in your life is to have the Sabbath keeping, to remember the Sabbath, remember the day. And why? It's one day out of seven. Exodus 31, and we know also in Exodus 20, it said, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." And we know in 6 days, it says in Exodus 20, then the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, for he rested on the seventh day. So we need to know, one day out of seven, there is a pause. One day out of seven, there is a boundary. This day looks different than every other day. So remember the Sabbath. How can you remember the Sabbath in your family life? How can you remember the Sabbath? What does that look like? Second thing is this word refreshment. So we see that on the seventh day, he rested and was refreshed. So what does that refreshment look like for us? When we look at for God, it's like it's in his, in, you know, of course, you know, I'm jumping into his world, which, okay, really. But God was satisfied. We know from Genesis account, he was satisfied that creation was complete and he saw it very good. So what he did on that seventh day, where he kind of stood back and he just savored the beauty and the completeness of his creative work. So in that refreshment, it's kind of taking the pause and being refreshed, taking a look at all that you have done and maybe all that's happened even through the week. It's taking, you know, kind of just taking the review, being refreshed by what great things do we see God do Monday through Saturday? What do we see in our family? How were our kids? How was work? Like, what were those kind of the highs, the highlights, to be able to savor the beauty of the week that just passed by, to be able to look at all the way that God moved in our week. This is a great day if you're starting to record the testimonies of God's faithfulness, if you're starting to just even keep like a faith history with God for your family. On Sundays, what a great day to pause, to kind of drink in his beauty, to drink in the testimonies of God's faithfulness throughout the that previous week. And have you ever had something? I'm just thinking about my husband and I just, well, okay, not me. My husband just finished he put in a bathroom in our basement. We have a bedroom down there, and so he put in a bathroom as well. So he did it through the winter months because the winter was so terrible. And every little piece, so I just would come downstairs and I would take little pictures of the progress. So as he's working hard, I'm taking pictures of the wall. You know, we had the frames, the framing of it, and then the walls, the drywall going up. And then when we had somebody come and do the mudding and the taping and the sanding of the drywall and laying the floor and putting in a vanity and painting the walls and putting in a shower, all the tile that was done for the shower, and doing all those little finishing touches then at the end and seeing the completed work, that is kind of, you know, okay, that's a very loose connection to God doing his creative work on Monday through Saturday and being able to just stop and savor the beauty. If I could tell you how many times we've walked downstairs just to look at that bathroom in the basement and just to be like, wow, that turned out really great. Man, that was really hard work, but look at how pretty that turned out. And what a blessing that's going to be for the people that come and stay at our house, that sleep downstairs and have that that space in the basement, and now they have their own little bathroom. So I know that's kind of a silly, maybe example, or certainly don't mean to connect that to, you know, what God did. But there is this time of refreshment, and it's important that we just don't move from one thing to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing. There is God enjoys the journey with us. And so this is even just kind of his desire, his command to us is to stop and to take a day where you're just refreshed. It's like we get to just stop and breathe in his beauty, breathe in his glory, review all of what God did over the past week in our family, and even just to take a look at what he has done in our own personal lives. And if you think about when God created Adam and Eve, they were created on day six. So God's, we're the pinnacle. Mankind is the pinnacle of God's creation. But the full day for Adam and Eve on the planet Earth in the Garden of Eden was really day seven, the day that God rested and was refreshed. So part of refreshment is just enjoying time with our family, enjoying time with God. So as Adam and Eve, God rested on that day and he was refreshed on that day. Where does refreshment come? It comes from just spending time with the people that you love. So what could the Sabbath look like in that place of refreshment, where we just take time with the relationships that we love, the people we love to be around, our family, our friends, our small group community, and enjoy fellowship, enjoy that the intimacy of what it means to be in those relationships. So refreshment, which leads into rest. We know that God said we are to stop every 7 days. And it's like that we get to remember that place of rest is we're to start our week. Sunday is that kind of that day that we are to launch from. So it's from being filled up, being as we're refreshed and we're rested and we're worshiping who God is and celebrating what he has done, that we reflect on his holiness and his beauty and the ways that he has moved in our life, that he is the source for all life, for all blessing, that it's from that place that we are then launched into the week of work. So the place of this day seven, this Sabbath keeping, this day of refreshment, this day of rest, this day to remember, this is all the way that God has designed us, that we would be kind of filled up to overflowing, that we would be moving into our week filled with his presence, filled with his beauty, filled with his glory, filled with those friendships that bring such beauty and joy and fulfillment in our lives. And then we move into that we are to return. God said to Moses, observe the Sabbath because it's holy to you and I, and it's his Sabbath. He said, I want you to keep, and I just love that. The Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbath. This is a day that is set apart. It belongs to God. It is a day that is different than every other day. And it's like God saying, come and return. As we know, this is like, it's kind of our center. It's our home. Have you ever been, on a trip, or you even are busy during the week and all you think is, oh, I can't wait to get home. I can't wait to get home. You know that feeling inside of you that you just, if you work and you travel, my husband travels almost every week. And so he's always like, I can't wait to get home. Like, I can't wait to get home and be with you. I can't wait to get home and just be on in my turf, sitting on my couch, eating from our home, not eating out, every night. And this is that place of return is the Sabbath. It's holy to us. It belongs to God. And so we get to return. We get to come home. We get to recenter. That's what the Sabbath provides for us. It's the this one day a week where we get to just focus our attention on God in a really special way. And I don't know about you, but there are some days that the weeks are just really busy. They're filled with activities. So it's these few moments of connecting with God, and I'm not getting the chunks of time with God that I long for. So when the Sabbath comes, it's like I get to breathe Him in. It's this, take a deep breath of God's glory and feel His presence just filling all the pores again throughout my body, filling all of those places that are maybe dry or are feeling like all I did was pour out, all I did was pour out. If you have young kids, you know what that's like. It's just you give, 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 give. And the Sabbath is the day we return. We remember, we get refreshment from it, we rest in it, and we return. And we devote ourselves to God in a way that we maybe don't during those busy days of the week. So what can you do to really devote yourself in a way that's going to deepen that place of returning? What can you do as a family to recenter on who God is? And I think what is important is we have as in our culture, which really started from the early church, is finding that day, that Sabbath day where we gather corporately and we worship the Lord and we bring the blessing of who He is and we tell God how great You are and we gather with others to just worship Him. And I want to remind us that the Sabbath belongs to God. So even in our place of worship, it's like we, the body of Christ, we, the family of God, we come together and we're just telling God how great He is. We're just declaring His glory. We're focusing our attention on God in a special way. That corporate worship, that corporate expression is not for you and I. You know, that's not the place actually where we're to be filled up. We're to be doing that with in our secret place time with God and through small group in our community. We're getting filled up and just we're meditating on who God is. We're meditating on His scripture. The corporate expression on a Sabbath, on a Sunday morning, is to come together and focus on the beauty of who God is in our lives and to tell Him how great He is. And we come together and we declare that as a body. So we return to Him. And it's like that we recenter our focus. We're coming home. And we do that every 7 days. So we work those six and we remember the Sabbath. And then the last thing that I see is this word sign. Two times in that little passage that I read in Exodus 31 out of like six verses, God tells Moses that the Sabbath will be a sign between God and the nation of Israel for those generations to come. And what do we know? A sign. What's about a sign? It points to something. So what is the sign pointing, or it gives direction? It's pointing to this truth that we are not to forget. So every week as we are remembering, every week as we're resting, every week as we're gaining refreshment from God's presence, every week when we return, this is the sign that we are remembering that God is holy and God has made us holy, that God has sanctified us, He's consecrated us, He's chosen us, He has set us apart. And as we observe the Sabbath, we remember that He has a great purpose for our life. That is, we are to experience the highest and greatest joy. And God didn't make this covenant with any other nation. He made it with His chosen people. You and I are signs as we observe the sacredness of the Sabbath. We are signs that God loves His people. We are signs that God has a moment, this pause in the rest of our week to fill us up, to that we would rest from all of our other busyness, all of that work that we do Monday through Saturday. We are a sign that He loves and blesses His people. We are a sign that He is the one that grants us life, to the full that gives us this great and highest joy. We are a sign to all other peoples that we interact with a God that is personal, that we interact with a God who is relational, that we have a God who loves. This is what we gain from the Sabbath. We are signs. We're a sign and a wonder to those people that are all around us. When we say stop and pause in my week, I'm going to devote and dedicate time to God. I'm going to worship him. I'm going to speak of his testimonies. I'm going to review all of what he has done in our family this week. We want to remember all that he has done in our lives and in our, not only in just our own family, but we're leaving the testimony of his faithfulness to the generational line that will proceed from us. Isaiah 58, God speaks to the nation of Israel, reminding them again to keep the Sabbath. And listen, I'm going to read it out of the message because I love it. This is verses 13 and 14 out of Isaiah 58. If you watch your step on the Sabbath and don't use my holy day for personal advantage, if you treat the Sabbath as a day of joy, God's holy day as a celebration, if you honor it by refusing business as usual, making money, running here and there, then you will be free to enjoy God. Oh, I will make you ride high and soar above it all. And one of the things that we need to know is that we need to remember, as we're remembering the Sabbath, that God loves you, that God is for you, that you are his, that you are chosen, that you are set apart. He has designed you and he has woven you together and he has shaped you and he has shaped your family. And he lays out a Sabbath not to add a rule to your life or to, oh, now I can't work, that he's, you know, interrupting your daily activities. But God knows us. He knows us way better than we know ourselves. He's the one who shaped us. He's the one who created us. He's the one who breathed his life into us. And so he instills this Sabbath keeping. He commands this to us. It's for our good. It is for us so that we would be able to walk out with joy. We would be able to walk out of the Sabbath filled up to overflowing. We'd be able to walk from the Sabbath with those relationships and the people that we have spent time with that just fill our life with happiness and joy. And that we would take the Sabbath and make it a celebration. I know there were a couple really hard years for when we were raising our kids, for Greg and I, and just some of the challenges that came with that. And I think there was probably a 6-month period of time where every Sunday night we would grab a bottle of champagne and that was our way of just remembering, being refreshed, and returning to kind of that place of just, okay, God, you are our focus. You are the attention. And we would look to the week of all the things that God had done as he showed himself so faithful in the midst of the things that were a struggle and things that were really a challenge to us. And it was a way that we celebrated and we kept our hope in the Lord by just putting that pause and returning home to that place of just center. So as you go forward and you are beginning to just, I really want you to think about, how can we make a Sabbath day in our week? What does that look like? What does that mean for our family to remember the Sabbath? What does it mean for us to get refreshment? Where does that happen for you? What day do you set apart where you get refreshment from God, refreshment from relationships, refreshment from looking at what God has done? Where do you find rest? Where's the day that you return to the Lord with that real focus of attention on God in a really special way? And what kind of sign are you to your neighbors? What kind of sign are you to the sphere of influence that you have as you dedicate this day that he has set apart, the day that is God's? Out of all the days, he's given us six that we interact and we do all the work. But God has said the Sabbath day is my day. So we are called to make that day, to observe that day. It's holy to God. It's holy to us. So as we kind of wrap up today, I wanted to encourage you to take time to keep the Sabbath. And in the midst of very busy schedules of families, what can it look like for you and your family to set the Sabbath apart, to make it consecrated, to make it holy, to remember, to have it a day that is sanctified, where we are not doing business as usual? I'm going to read that Isaiah 58 one more time as I wrap up, verses 13 and 14. If you watch your step on the Sabbath and don't use my holy day for personal advantage, if you treat the Sabbath as a day of joy, God's holy day as a celebration, if you honor it by refusing business as usual, making money, running here and there, then you'll be free to enjoy God. Oh, I'll make you ride high and soar above it all. God loves you. He knows you better than you know yourself. He is for you, and he has set the Sabbath apart, a day apart, that we would rest, we'd remember, we'd be refreshed, we would rest, we'd return, and that day would be a sign. All right, be blessed this week. If you want to connect with me, you can just find me on kristincheetah.com. And you can find me on Facebook, on Instagram, and I think that's it for today. All right, I will look forward to just the conversation for next week. Be blessed and enjoy the Sabbath.